On this great feast, brothers and sisters, which is the presentation of the Lord, which is known, which be this feast began sometime in the 4th century. It is known, maybe some of you know, I don't know, for example, for the Mexicans or the Hispanic, we call it the La Fiesta de la Candelaria, which is the feast of the candles, or the, I don't know, the candle mass or whatever. I don't know if you, some of you, from the old days, you used to bless the candles, and we should probably still do this. We lose these traditions. It's very beautiful because it's a feast, brothers and sisters, of the light, that Christ comes as a light to our life. We see in this first reading, which comes from the prophet Malachi, it is the last prophet, brothers and sisters, and this is the last prophet. Malachi is in fact the only prophet to announce to prophesy to the entire people of Israel. When you look, for example, at the other books of the prophets, they're always speaking to a particular group, tribe, or section of Israel. But the prophet Malachi is the only prophet who is to prophesy to all of Israel together. But by the time the prophet Malachi, when this word is announced, brothers and sisters, the people of Israel are already in a huge stinking mess. Already many of the tribes are already lost. The people are completely divided. Israel is almost completely destroyed. And this is when the prophet makes this announcement. Do not be afraid. There is a messenger who is going to come. This comes, brothers and sisters, already right before the coming of John the Baptist. Because this is the messenger who the prophet Malachi announces. And as we know, brothers and sisters, John the Baptist is the one who prepares the way for Christ. This is what the candle, brothers and sisters, symbolizes. The coming of the true light, who is Jesus Christ. This word comes, brothers and sisters, at a perfect time for the people of Israel. Because if you remember, when God makes the history with the people of Israel, He espouses His people. He makes a covenant with them after He brings them out of the slavery of Egypt. And He says, you will espouse me. Your life comes from your relationship with me. I am what makes you happy. I am the one who brings you out of your slavery, out of your fears, out of your sins. I do everything for you. And when the people of Israel receive this covenant from the Lord, what happens to them? They go into the desert and they make a mess eventually. And God has to bring them back. He makes a history with them again. They receive they enter into the promised land. Fantastic. Lands they do not build. Nothing that they have built. Wells, honey, everything. Fantastic. Already prepared for them. The Lord gives them the promised land. And eventually what happens? They make a mess again. They go back to Egypt. What does it mean? They go back to their sins. They're constantly falling, constantly making a mess, constantly committing adultery in their relationship, in their covenant with the Lord. And God has to come back again, send prophets, forgives them. It's constantly a relationship like this. And the more they sin, the more they distance themselves from God. But this is why, brothers and sisters, God gives to the people of Israel a good news today. He gives this news to you and me. Because this happens to you and me as well, brothers and sisters. That we begin the relationship with the Lord and we many times lose hope. What is the first sin of the people of Israel when they enter into the desert? God brings them into the desert, promises them the promised land, frees them from slavery. And when Moses goes to get the covenant, what happens? The golden calf. Fantastic. You guys, CCD here, okay? Golden calf. And do you know why they make the golden calf? Because they lose patience. The Lord says, wait. Come, I am going to come with a new covenant, a new law. The covenant, brothers and sisters, is meant to help the people to see that you don't have to do anything. The covenant means that I am going to fulfill a word in your life. And yet the people begin to lose patience. But where is this God? He promised to be here. He needs to be here now. And this, brothers and sisters, is what happens to you and me many times in our relationship, is that we become very demanding with the Lord. Give me my water now. Give me the money now. Change my situation now. Do something to my husband now. Do something to my children now. Take away their stubbornness now. If you don't do it to me now, then I am not going to play with you anymore. We are like spoiled brats with the Lord. Give it to me now or I don't listen to you. No, 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 no. And this, brothers and sisters, is what happens to us. Is that we don't want to wait. We lose stinking patience. We become demanding. Not because, brothers and sisters, because deep down, what we want is to fill our belly. What does it mean? Is that we want happiness now. We want to be satisfied only for ourselves. Because deep down, we are selfish. This is what St. Paul was speaking about today in the letter to the Hebrews. This is the slavery. The biggest slavery, the biggest prison, said St. John Paul the Great, is the slavery, the prison of loving only yourself. This, brothers and sisters, is the tragedy of you and me today. But this, brothers and sisters, the Lord has to enlighten. We do not see it. This is the deeper problem. Is that we do not see our situation many times. But this is exactly why the Lord comes to bring us the light. Because we don't see the real root of our suffering. You cannot go to the doctor and you tell him, this is what you are supposed to do. You go to the doctor to say, I do not see my problem. I do not know why I'm sick. Why am I shaking? Why is my blood pressure going? But why is my stomach hurting? And you may think you have a tummy ache. But he may say to you, no, you have a cancer. And you don't see it. But why is my child rebellious? But why is he an alcoholic? Why is there a problem in my marriage? Why doesn't my husband understand me? Why doesn't my wife listen to me? Why do not my children listen to me? And you begin to think that the problem is the problem in your child, in your husband, in your wife. And Christ comes to show you, no, the problem is in you. Don't you understand that this division began before they made a mess in your life? Before they distance themselves from you. Maybe you push them away with your sin, with your selfishness. But you cannot see it, brothers and sisters, if you do not allow the light into your life. The problem is, brothers and sisters, is that the Christ comes. And Christ comes always in the opportune moment. Always when the time is perfect. But what did we hear in the psalm? Open wide the gates. Let the King of glory in. The problem is that we do not let Christ into the house. Christ needs to enter into your house in order to espouse you, in order that this light may enlighten your house. There is a difference, brothers and sisters, from keeping a candle outside of the door, from keeping the candle inside of the room where it needs to be. It's the same thing, brothers and sisters, as dating. There is a difference from dating somebody than from marrying them. There's a woman, for example, would a girl like for a man just to say, I'm going to date you for 6 years and string you along? What woman is it? Crazy. Stupid. She wants to get married. She wants to espouse you. The reason why she's freaking dating you is to espouse you. Or else what the heck are you doing? Wasting the time. You understand? And yet we have this relationship with Jesus Christ. We string him along. And the Lord cannot do anything if you don't give him your yes. If you don't give him yourself. This is why, brothers and sisters, be patient. Because the Lord wants to act. The light needs to enter into your life. But why does the Lord need to act? Why does he need to enter into your life? Because deep down, brothers and sisters, the problem of all of this, the reason why demanding from the Lord hurts us, destroys us, the reason why, brothers and sisters, we find ourselves frustrated today, it is because deep down, we think that Christianity is an effort. Christianity is not an effort. You are not here to try. You are not here to become a better Christian. Yes, I need to do it. I will do it. I will become better. I will become stronger. I will have more faith. Brothers and sisters, this is not Christianity. The light comes, brothers and sisters, to enlighten your life. It is the light that does it. This is why, brothers and sisters, this feast is a good news, because we need the light to do everything for us. This is why, brothers and sisters, God sent His only begotten Son, because He saw throughout this entire history that the people were constantly trying to love the Lord more. You are constantly trying to forgive. You are constantly trying to forgive your husband, to forgive your wife, to love your children. But you see, it is impossible. But this is why you need Christ. Once you see that you cannot do it, then you allow Christ to enter. Then you allow the light to enter into your life. Then you look for this light. And when you look for this light, you see that this light has always been there. It's not that the Lord has not desired to come. It's not that the Lord has never come when you have asked. The problem is that you are always looking for the wrong light. You are not looking for the true light. You were looking for, I don't know what, the match pack from Northside Bar. Where do they give matches there? Do they still give matches in bars today? I don't think so, right? Anti-smoke. You can smoke, but you can't smoke, but you can kill babies here in this country. Yep. Stupid. Anyways, I'm defending smokers here. Why am I saying that? Because you're looking for matches. You're looking for something that passes. Everything passes. You cannot find happiness in money. When has money done it for you? When has your career done it for you? When has your husband done it for you? When has your wife done it? On the contrary, this has always been your problem. Is that you look for the light in them. You look to demand happiness from the money, from the career. This is why you freaking went to depression when you retired. This is why you complained you couldn't wait for your children to leave. And when they left, you said, but don't go home, come back. I'll make you stuffed cabbage, I don't know what. You couldn't wait for your husband to I don't know what. This, brothers and sisters, this is exactly the problem. Because we look for the light in the wrong place. But this is why this feast comes as a good joy, great joy to you and I today. Because the light looks for us. He looks for us because He realizes that we need to be found. And brothers and sisters, St. Paul says, what you bring to the light becomes light. This is the great joy of Christianity. That Christ can bring joy in the most ugliest of places, in the most darknesses of realities. That Christ can bring life out of death. Let us stand.